Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim, daf Nun Beis. We left off daf Nun Aleph, Amud Beis, at the Mishnah, two lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Today we are going to continue with the theme that we had been discussing over the past 2 days, and that theme is all about the Lashon that one uses in Nedarim, and what exactly the Lashon of the Neder includes. If you're Nedar on one thing, does it include another? Does it include certain categories of the thing? So first of all, before we get to the overview of the daf, today's shiur sponsor once again by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, also Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha LeHashalom. We thank him very, very much for his continued sponsorship of the shiur. So we are going to start with the Mishnah Nun Aleph Amud Beis, which is going to talk about what happens if a person is noder from milk. Is he usser in whey? So whey is the liquid that separates from the milk, or vice versa. If he's noder from whey, is he usser in milk? And then we're going to talk about if a person is noder from basar, is it mutter for him to eat the shards of meat and the gravy that comes along with the meat? And in the context of this Mishnah, there is a very short daf of Gemara Nun Beis Amud Aleph, but a very, very long ran. And this ran is going to talk about min bamino batol or eino batol, and the concept of bitol by a davar sheyesh lo matirin. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about what happens if you make an eder that you're not going to have benefits from grapes or olives. Are you allowed to benefit from wine or oil? So in other words, that which comes out of the thing, is it going to be mutter or is it going to be usser? The Gemara is going to tie this back to a conversation that we had a couple of days ago that you may recall about chilufin and gidulin. Gidulin are that which grow from the item that you were noder against. Chilufin are that which are exchanged from the item that you are noder against. What about the davar hayotzimahem? What about something that actually comes out of the item that you were noder against? So that's what the Mishnah on Amud Beis and the ensuing Gemara is going to talk about, and that's going to take us until the end of the daf, and the end of the daf marks the continuation of Mayreinu's giving of shir for just a couple of weeks, and then I am back and we will have further opportunities to learn together during the month of January, God willing. So, says the Mishnah, Nun Aleph Amud Beis at the bottom, Hanoder min achalav, if a person is noder from chalav, a person says that he's not going to have milk, mutter bekom, it is mutter for him to have, it is mutter for him to have whey. And so the whey is something, again, that separates from the milk. It's a liquid type of thing that separates from the milk. It is called by a different name than milk. We call milk milk, we call whey whey. And therefore, if a person is no different from milk, he's allowed to have whey. Now, the reason that he's allowed to have whey is not because he said hachalav. Now, we had seen yesterday that there's a difference between one who says hashaluk, hamavushal, hatsali. If a person uses that hey hayadia, then often he's referring to that which is primarily prepared, however, that which is preserved, that which is overcooked, that which is roasted. So the reason that he's mutter to have whey is not because he says hachalav, the milk with a hey hayadia. Simply, it's because chalav is not comb. Comb is not chalav. It's got nothing to do with hey idea. Simply has to do with the fact that they have different names. That if a person is no different milk, it doesn't include whey, because whey is considered to be a different type of product than milk. So again, back in the Mishnah, no der mina chalav mutter b'kom. If a person is no der from chalav, it's mutter for him to have whey. Rav Yossi oser, but Rav Yossi says it's going to be oser because he feels that the whey is liquid which separates from the milk. Therefore, it's too close, and therefore, if you're no der from chalav, you're also not allowed to have whey. Minakom, if you are no der that you are not going to have whey, mutter b'chalav. Then it is mutter to have. Then it's mutter to have chalav because whey and chalav are not the same thing. So the Ran says, well, this is interesting, because when the guy was noder against chalav, the Mishnah said that he was mutter to have whey, but Rav Yossi said, nope, they're considered to be the same thing. Second case in the Mishnah, the guy's noder that he's not going to have whey, he's mutter to have chalav, that's a Tanakama. Where's Rav Yossi? Rav Yossi should say it's usser, because Rav Yossi apparently holds that milk and whey are interchangeable, yet Rav Yossi only argues in the first case of the Mishnah, doesn't argue on the second case of the Mishnah. So the Ran says that there is a brisa in which Rav Yossi disputes this ruling as well. Even though in the Mishnah, we don't find any record of Rav Yossi arguing, Rav Yossi does in fact argue on both cases, because it doesn't make sense intellectually that he would argue only on the first case and not on the second case. Now, says the Mishnah, Abashal Omer Hanoder Minagvina, if a person is noder from cheese, Asur Ba Bein Malucha Utfela. It's also for him to have cheese, whether it's salted or unsalted. And the Ran says, what's the chiddush here? In other words, the chiddush is, don't say that because most cheese is salted, that when the person takes a neder against Gvina, he has in mind only the way that most cheese is prepared, i.e. salted. No, he has in mind all cheese, and therefore it's going to be usher for him to have both salted cheese as well as unsalted cheese, even though unsalted cheese is not typically consumed. Now, says the Mishnah Vayitra, noder min habasar, if a person is noder from basar, then mutter barota v'vikipa. It's going to be mutter for him to have the gravy and the little shards of meat that fall off the meat when you cook them. That's the way the Ran explains kippa are little shards of meat. However, the Rav Mibar Tanura on the Mishnah explains that kippa is rotav shenikrash, that kippa is gravy which is congealed. You know, like when you put a piece of meat in the fridge and then you take it out, so that which had been gravy when it's refrigerated is like congealed, and then you have to let it sit until it turns back into liquid. But the truth is, the Bar Tanura's pshat is a little bit difficult to understand, because if kippa means congealed gravy, and we already said that if a person is noder not to have meat, he's allowed to have the gravy, what's the havamina that he would be allowed to have the gravy if it's liquid, but he wouldn't be allowed to have the gravy if it's solid? The gravy is the gravy. It doesn't matter what state the gravy is in, whether it's a liquid or a solid. And therefore, the Ran explains that kippa is something totally different. It's the little shards of meat, but again, it's mutter to have them if you are noder only from basar. However, Rav Yehuda oser. Rav Yehuda asers it. And Rav Yehuda says that no, it is included in the neder against meat. The Hagos Fitzayunim over here has a girsa that it's not Rav Yehuda who assers it. It's again our friend Rav Yossi, who had argued on the first case of the Mishnah. According to the Ran, there was a brisa that he was arguing even on the second case of the Mishnah. Rav Yossi is now going to say he's arguing on the case of Basar in the Mishnah, and he's going to say that we're going to interpret his reference to Basar in the most expansive way, that the basar will include even the gravy and the little shards of meat. Some Rav Yehuda, so said Rav Yehuda, Maisa v'yasolana Rabbi Tarfon, there was a Maisa where Rabbi Tarfon asserted on us, bebeitzim shenishbashlu imo, with beitzim that were cooked with the basar. So again, you're going to have to change this girsa to Rav Yossi if it was actually Rav Yossi who was arguing. But the point is, we had a machlokas, if a person is noder from basar, is he allowed to have the gravy and the meat shards or not? So the Tanna Kamma said, yes, he's allowed to have the gravy and the meat shards. Rav Yossi said, no, he's not allowed to have the gravy and the meat shards. So Rav Yossi, or Rav Yehuda, whatever your girsa is, said to the Tanna Kamma, but there was a maisa when Rabbi Tarfon said that there was a beitza that was cooked together with the meat. Now, a beitza that's cooked together with the meat is definitely not part of the meat. There's no havamina that the beitza is considered to be part of the meat. Yet because it was cooked with the meat, Rabbi Tarfon assered us to have the beitza because the meat was usser. So isn't it obviously therefore true that if you're noder from meat, that neder by definition has to include the gravy and the meat shards? If Rav Tarfon assered even an egg that was a totally separate entity that was cooked together with the meat. So says the Mishnah, Amrulo, so they said to him, Kena davar. So, okay, that happened, but Amosai bezman sheyomar basar ze alai. That's only when the guy said, basar ze alai. So the Ran says over here that's not a raya, because we're talking about the guy is noder from meat generally. He says, I'm not going to have meat. I'm no longer a meat eater. So the question is, does that include only the physical piece of meat, or does that include the rest of the stuff that is cooked together with meat? However, if a person says this piece of meat is usher to me, he directs the neder against a specific piece of meat, as the Ran says, Kamosha Tameyid, the second line, Aval Ainza Rayash, Lo Usur Rabitarfan Eloh's Manchamar Basar Ze Alai. The Kivan the Amar Ze, because he pointed to this piece of meat and he said, I'm not gonna have this piece of meat, Shavya Nafshe Khatiha di Surah Vi Asur Biyotsimenu. that therefore he rendered this piece of meat, a chaticha shel iser. He said that piece of meat is usser to him. Therefore, that piece of meat has the status of something treif. Now, if you cook something treif along with an egg, you're not allowed to have the egg because the thing that's treif imparts flavor to the egg. So this has nothing to do with nedarim, lashon nedarim, that because the guy was noder on meat and the egg was cooked with the meat, therefore the egg is going to be usser. It's where the guy said, basar zeh, he made it into a cheftza shel iser, and that's why it's going to be usser over here. So says the Mishnah Vayter, Emosai b'zman sheyomar basar zeh alai, shanodar min adavar v'nisarei v'acher, because if a person takes an eder on something and then it's mixed with something else, em yesh bo b'no sein tam, if there is no Saint Tom over here, then it's going to be, and no Saint Tom means the shear that we're familiar with generally when these kashra shilas come out is what? It's batel b'shishim. It's 1/60th, right? So the Ran says that no Saint Tom is the shear of 1/60th. So if you have something which is usser, the item is usser, and it's mixed into something else, if there is b'no Saint Tom, if there is less than the shear or greater than the shear of 1/60th of that item, then usser, then it's going to be usser. Because the basar is a davar shel iser, it's usser because of the neder, and therefore it's able to asser that which is mutter, i.e. the beitza, if the basar is no Saint Tom with the beitza. Which is mashma, that if the basar was not no Saint Tom, for example, if the sheer basar in the egg mixture was less than 1/60th, then it wouldn't be usser, right? Then the egg wouldn't be usser. The egg was only usser because there was an issue of no Saint Tom over here. So we're going to come back to the concept of no Saint Tom and bittel in a minute, but let's just finish the Mishnah. Hanoder min ayayin, if a person is noder from wine, mutter betavshel sheyesh bo tam yayin. It's mutter for him to eat a cooked dish that has the taste of wine. Because that's not called wine. In other words, everybody knows, if you use wine in a recipe, it burns off the alcohol. You're not going to get drunk drinking Kakovan or something like that, or a Harvey Wallbanger cake or whatever. So it just burns off the alcohol. So if he says he's not going to have wine, it's mutter for him to eat something that has wine in it. Amar konem yayin zeh shani toim. However, if he says, not stam, I'm not going to have wine, he says, this bottle of wine is usher to me, and then his wife prepares a dish of brisket or chicken with that bottle of wine, well, then we have a problem. V'nafal atavshel, if it falls into the tavshel, miyeshba v'no Saint Tom, areza usser. If there is enough of the wine in the mixture to be no Saint Tom, meaning there's greater than a shear of 1/60th of that wine in the mixture, then it's going to be usser. Because again, there's a fundamental distinction between a guy who says simply, I'm not having meat, I'm not having wine, I'm not having whatever, between that and a guy who says, this piece of, this item is usser. Because once the guy says, this item is usser, shavi anafshe chaticha di sura, then we're going to operate with the regular principles of bittel and no Saint Tom. And if there's going to be no Saint Tom, then the whole item is going, the whole mixture is going to be usser. Okay, so this long mat, we're not going to read this massive run inside, obviously, because then we'd never get done. But just to synopsize and to summarize a little bit what this run says, that the run says that it's mashma, that if there is no Saint Tom, then it's going to be mutter, right? And that's what the Mishnah says pretty explicitly, that if the davar shel iser falls into the davar shel heter, if there's enough of the iser to be no Saint Tom to the heter, then all of the mutter stuff is going to be usser. That's why the beitza is going to be usser if it mixed in with the meat. The tavshel is going to be usser if it mixed in with the wine. So it's totally a no Saint Tom. So the Ron's question is that nedarim is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Because why is nedarim a davar sheyesh lo matirin? Because if the guy wanted, he could always be shoal on his neder. So he made a neder that this piece of meat is usser, or that this bottle of wine is usser. But if he really wanted, he could go to a chacham and he could remove the iser from that bottle of wine. And we know that a davar sheyesh lo matirin is afilu be'elef lo batal. So if the halacha is that a davar sheyesh lo matirin is a lo batal afilu be'elef, then why should we say that if this usser item falls into something, whether it's batal or not, depends on whether there's a shir shishim, Davar sheyesh lo matir nafilu be'elef lo batol, I thought. So why is it mutter if there is no, Saint Tam? And we also say that by a davar sheyesh lo matirin, we're not going to be mekel and say things like safek d'rabban l'kula, because saying things like safek d'rabban l'kula, it's only in b'di'eved, which we'll do if there's no way out of the isser. But over here, there is a way out of the isser, because you could just revoke the isser. You could go be shoel on your neder. And again, the reason is that we don't want to be someich on kulos unless we actually have to. It's better to just wait until the item becomes permissible, and then you could just eat. The item. So the Ron explains that davar sheyesh lamatirin ain't a batal, that the fact that we say davar sheyesh lamatirin afilu be'elef lo batal is only by min b'mino. That's where it's lo batal. But this is a very yesodos dikaron. This is a very important principle throughout Shas. But by min shebisha'ino mino, then it's going to be toloi on no sein tam. And over here, the examples that are given in the Mishnah are min b'she'in amino, because we're talking about the piece of meat, which is asur, which fell into an egg, which is mutter. We're talking about the wine, which is asur, which fell into a dish, which is going to be mutter, because we're talking about basar and beitzim, right? That's min b'she'ino mino. So the question is, what's the svara to be mechalek between min b'mino and min b'she'ino mino? So that we're going to have to come back to that. So that we're going to have to come back to in a second. And then the Ron just parenthetically observes here in the course of this long Ron that this Mishnah is a kasha on the sheet of the Rif, because the sheet of the Rif is that a davar sheyesh lo matirin is not batal even if there is no Saint Tom. And over here we see that obviously it is totally on no Saint Tom. So the Ron explains that according to Rav Yehuda or Rav Yossi in our Mishnah, whoever we attribute the view to, that min b'mino, the heter is not mevatel the iser, because by min b'mino you have two complementary items. So if you have two complementary items, he can't say that one cancels the other out, because they're not at odds with each other. They're complementary. It's min b'mino. So if it's the same thing, rather than cancel each other out, they actually complement each other. However, by min b'she'eino mino, the Ron views there as being a conflict between the two types of things, and therefore the heter is going to be mevatel the iser. It's going to weaken the iser. The Rabbanan hold that even by min b'mino, it is going to be mevatel. The heter is going to be mevatel the iser, because you have to remember min b'mino could be referencing one of two things. Min b'mino can be referencing a physical truth. Are the two items the same? Well, one is an egg, one is a piece of meat. That's min b'she'in amino, right? But min b'she'in amino can also be referring to what I'll call sort of the spiritual construct of the thing, or the halachic construct of the thing. One of these things is mutter, one of these things is asur. So from a halachic perspective, even if the two items are the same, even if the two items are pieces of meat, from a halachic perspective, are they really the same? Says the Ron, no. One of them is mutter lahalacha, one of them is asur lahalacha. So if the whole concept of bittul works by min b'she'in amino because there's a conflict and the heter can overwhelm the iser, well then the heter overwhelming the iser should have to do with the halachic reality and not the physical reality of whether they are physically the same item. But that's the Ron's very yesodistic interpretation of why you will have min b'mino ain't a batal. However, min b'she'ein amino is going to be batal, because there's a difference between whether the two items complement each other and strengthen each other, or if the two items counterbalance each other and one is going to cancel out the other. And then further, this very interesting ha'ara from the Ron as to whether min b'mino or min b'she'in amino rather refers to the physical status of things, or whether it rather refers to the halachic status of things. And then the Ron concludes this whole long piece by saying that if you're going to interpret min b'she'in amino as referring to the halachic status of things, that if one of these items is mutter and the other item is usser, then by definition it's min b'she'in amino, because from a halachic perspective, they're not the same. Now we understand why Adavar Sheyesh Lamatirin is different. Because by Adavar Sheyesh Lamatirin, from a halachic perspective, there's not necessarily a conflict. Because right now it's Asur, but if you wait, it's going to be Mutter. So if the whole concept of Bittul arises out of a conflict between the two items, and halachically, even now, there might be temporally a conflict, but there's not going to be a conflict later, why are you going to rely on Bittul? Just wait until the thing is Mutter. Now you're not going to have a conflict. Rather, they're going to complement each other. And therefore, it's not going to be Bittul. So that's a little bit about what this massive run was talking about over here. Okay, so let's flip to Nun Beis Amud Beis and finally get to the Gemara. So says the Gemara, and just by way of introduction, what we had said in the Mishnah was that if one is noder on milk, then the Tanakhama said it's mutter for him to have whey. Rav Yossi said it's usur for him to have whey as well, apparently because Rav Yossi considers whey to be a form of milk. So says the Gemara of Raminum and Adashim, if a person is noder against Adashim, then Asur Bashishim, then it's Asur for him to have honey fried lentils, because he was noder from lentils, right? So even though this dish is called Ashishim, if a person says, I'm not going to have lentils, you can't give him honey fried lentils. Like saying, if a person is noder from potatoes, he can't eat French fries. Of course he can't eat French fries, because French fries are French fried potatoes. But Rav Yossi Matir, but Rav Yossi over here says that it's mutter. So the Gemara's question is, hang on a second. Rav Yossi says if a guy is noder against lentils, he's allowed to have honey fried lentils because it's called a different thing. But in our Mishnah, if the guy's noder on milk, he's not allowed to have whey, even though whey is also called a different thing. So what's up with Rav Yossi? Lokasha, Marki Asrei, Marki Asrei. Remember, we're in Nedarim land, and in Nedarim are holchin achar lasham bnei adam. Biasur d'rabanan kari lechal v'chal v'lukuma lekuma. The reason for the machlokas is as follows, simply geographical. In the locale of the Chachamim, of the Tanakhama, they would call milk milk, they would call whey whey. They would call them by distinct names. And therefore, if one is noder from one of these items, it's going to be mutter for him to have the other item. However, in the city of Rav Yossi, lukuma nami korele kuma dechalba, they would also refer to whey as whey of milk. And because we refer to whey as whey of milk, therefore, when you're noder on one, it's going to pick up the other. This is the brisa that the Ran referred to when we read the Mishnah, by the way, inferring that Rav Yossi is going to argue both ways. Because if the whole machlokas is whether whey is called milk, whey of milk, then it would make sense that no matter which direction you're noder, which thing you're noder on, the other item is going to be picked up in the neder. So it turns out that at the end of the day, this machlokas has got nothing to do about whether a neder against food automatically incorporates affiliated foods. Rather, it depends on whether in the locale of the person who is taking the neder, whether the affiliated food is called by the name of the primary food. So the Ran also explains over here that even though they only call whey milk whey, and nobody calls milk milk of whey, so in other words, it appears that this association only works in one direction. It only works when you're associating the whey with the milk, but not when you're associating the milk with the whey. Rav Yossi would still prohibit milk if he was noder on whey, because in Rav Yossi's locale, phrases like milk and whey practically became interchangeable, because they would refer to one as the other all the time. And therefore, because by Nedarim Olchen Achal Hashem and Adam, they would pick up both of these items in the neder. Okay, says the Gemara Navaiter, Tanya, Hanoder min achalav, if a person is noder from chalav, mutter bekom, it's mutter for him to have whey. Minakom, if a person is noder from whey, mutter bechalav, it's mutter for him to have milk. Minachalav, mutter gvina, if a person is noder from chalav, it's mutter for him to have cheese. Minagvina, mutter bechalav, and if a person is noder from cheese, it's mutter for him to have milk. Again, because the neder includes only that which is called by the name that he's noder, and nobody refers to cheese as milk, and nobody refers to milk as cheese, and therefore he's allowed to have the other. And a rotev, if he is noder from rotev, he says, I'm not going to have gravy. I'm never going to have gravy. So mutter bekipa, it's mutter for him to have the little shards of meat, because the little shards of meat are not gravy. Again, this fits much better with the Ran, who explained that kipa is shards of meat, much less better with the Rav Mibartanuru, who says that kipa is congealed gravy. Because if a person asers gravy on himself, now why in the world would it be mutter for him to have congealed gravy, unless you want to say that the sort of halachic property changes along with the physical property, but that to me seems a little bit difficult. The Gemara continues, Menakipa mutar barotav. If a person is noder from meat shards, it's mutar for him to have the gravy. Im Omar, basar ze alai. If a person says, basar ze alai, in other words, this is not a person who is noder from basar, the person says, this cowboy steak is going to be usher to me. So then, bo uverotvo uvikipo. Then he's not allowed to have the meat, and he's not allowed to have the rotev, nor is he allowed to have the meat shards, because he made that whole thing into a chaticha shel iser. Hanoder menayayin, if a person is noder from wine, mutter betavshel sheesh po tam yayin, it's mutter for him to eat a meat, to eat a dish that has the taste of wine. The Ron explains, she'ein b'mashmo shel noder menayayin ela kishahu be'eno. Because when a person is noder from wine, everybody knows when the guy takes a noder from wine, he means the wine, the type of wine that you pour out of the bottle and you drink in a glass. Not wine, cooking wine, or wine that's already cooked in a dish. Wine refers only to wine drunk plainly and not to wine that's cooked in a dish. Konem yayin zeh shani toim. If, however, it's not that the guy said, I'm never going to have wine. He said, I'm not going to have this bottle of wine, v'nafalatocha tavshil, and it falls into the tavshil, im yeshba, no saint tam, if it has no saint tam, if the yayin is no saint tam to the tavshil, hare zeh osur, then it's going to be osur. And the Ron explains that because he said, it is because he made this thing into a chefza shel iser, it's going to be usser even through taroves, because there is no same tam. So again, this is all going to depend on whether the guy is stam noder from a category of food, or whether the guy actually says that this specific item should be usser to me. And if he says this specific item should be usser to me, it's shavi anafshei chaticha di sura. And if shavi anafshei chaticha di sura, as long as that item has no same tam, it is going to asur everything that it comes into contact with as well. Okay, says now the next Mishnah. Hanoder min anavim. If a person is noder from grapes, mutter biyayin. It is mutter for him to drink wine. Even though wine comes from grapes, it's still going to be mutter. Min azesim mutter b'shemen. If a person is noder from olives, it's going to be mutter for him to eat shemen or to drink shemen. That, the reason is that the neder is ordinarily assumed to incorporate only the fruit itself, not the juices extracted from the fruit. And this is true, even though grapes and olives primarily are used for the purpose of extracting the juices. They're primarily used for the purpose of extracting the wine or the oil. Nevertheless, because the juice has a different name than the fruit, because everybody calls the grape a grape and the juice that comes from the grape wine, they don't call it, well, I guess we do have grape juice, but most people just call it wine, let's say. Or, you know, if a person has oil, they call it oil, they don't call it olive, they don't call it olives, so therefore that which comes out is going to be mutter. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Omer konem zesim vanovim elu sheni toem aser bem aviosa bem. However, if the guy asers these particular zesim or anovim on him, and then they press the zesim or anovim and wine or oil comes out, then it's going to be aser. Now the Gemara is going to explain, says the Ran, what the critical language here is. In other words, konem zesim vanovim elu. She'ini toim is the issue that he said that these elu, that these esem and anavim are usher to me, or is that he used the lashon of she'ini toim? So what would you think when we read this Mishnah? So I personally would think that the critical thing is elu, because what we had said was previously, there's a distinction between a noder min abasar and a guy who says basar zeh alai. So the elu is a substitute, or should be a substitute, for the zeh. So we'll see what the Gemara says about all this. Okay, says the Gemara now. So boy Rami Bar Chama, Elu Davka or Sheina Toim Davka. This is the very question that the Rana just alluded to. When we want to say that if you're noder on the grape or the olive, then it includes even the wine or the oil, is that you said that's where the guy says Elu Shani Toim. What is the critical verbiage here? Is it the Elu or is it the Sheini Toim? So Isal Kadaitach Elu Davka. If you want to say that the Elu is Dafka, no, that as long as you say Koneim Zesem va'anavim elu, then it's going to be usher for you to drink the wine or the oil, sheni toim lamali. So then why do you even include in the Mishnah the word sheni toim? What does that have to do with anything? It says the Gemara, ha'kamash malon, di'afal gav sheni toim, idiomar elu mitzar, v'ilo lo. Well, maybe the reason that the Mishnah says elu sheni toim is to teach us that the only time this is going to have the status of the chefza shel iser, such that even that which comes out from it is going to be usur, is only where the guy says elu. But if the guy only says sheini toim, it's not going to be enough. So maybe the fact that it says sheini toim is teaching me that the elu is the dafka, the sheini toim is lav dafka. Semarava tashma. So let's try to bring a raya. Konim peiros ha'elu alai. If you say that I'm not going to eat these fruits, and you point to a pile of fruits, konim em lefi, or that you're not going to put them in your mouth, osur b'chilufeim uvegiduleim. It is osur to eat their chilufim or their gidulim. So again, gidulim, we understand what those are. That's if you know they're from an apple, and then you plant an apple seed, and then it grows into a new tree. You're not allowed to have that which grows because that's gidulim. What's chilufin? Chilufin we saw as exchange, right? So, for example, if you say you're not gonna have anah from this apple, and then you go to the market and you exchange the apple for an orange, so you're not allowed to have the orange either because the orange is a chiluf. The orange is what you get in exchange. It's a bartered item for the apple. So it said again, if you say peiros elu alai. So over here is where the guy says elu, but he doesn't use the lashon of sheini toim. So if the guy says peiros elu, it's also for him to have the chilufim and the gidulim. Habiyotze ben mutter. But isn't the inference that you're allowed to have that which comes out of the item? In other words, you're allowed to have the apple juice. So the Ron explains, why would I make the inference that habiyotze ben mutter? Because the case of chilufin and gidulim, the davara asur is still in existence, and therefore the standing prohibition should apply to the food's derivatives. In other words, by gidulim, you have the apple seed, but the apple is still there. By chilufin, you exchange one item for the other, but the davar shel iser is still physically there. However, when you make wine, you crush the grape. There is no grape left. So maybe it's only going to be usur when the original item is still in existence. So, and therefore, because the original item is no longer in existence, once you make the wine or once you make the oil, if you were going to asur the yotzeh behem, that would be a bigger chiddush than chilufin and gidulim, says the Ran. Because by chilufin and gidulim, the original item is still there. So great, so say it's asur. But by yotzeh behem, where the original item is no longer there, that's going to be a real chiddush. And since the Tana should have told us the most novel ruling, he should have told us the biggest chiddush, because he didn't say that a yotzeh behem is asur. Obviously, it's that a yotzeh behem is mutter. And over here, you use the lashon of elu, but a yotzeh behem is mutter. Says the Gemara, no. Hu adin dafilu b'yotzeh behem asur. No, even yotzeh behem is asur. V'adifa le'lashminan dechilufin kigedulin dami. But the Gemara is teaching me an even bigger chiddush, and the chiddush is that chilufin is like gidulin. In other words, the Ran explains that the Gemara is reconsidering its logic. The Gemara had previously thought that the more obvious iser was by chilufin and gidulin because the item is still in existence, whereas if you juice the fruit and create juice, that's less obvious because the original item is no longer there. The Gemara is now reconsidering its logic and saying, no, where you juice the fruit, and even though the item is no longer there, the juice that comes out is literally a product of the fruit. And therefore, of course, it's going to be usur. But by chilufin, it's got nothing to do with the apple at all. You were noder against an apple. Then you happen to go to the fruit store. So you exchange the apple for an orange. Okay, I understand that you bartered it, but it physically doesn't have any connection to the apple at all. That's going to be the bigger chiddush. And that's why we're going to focus on the fact that they are usur. But it could be, says the Gemara, in other words, for our purposes, we should just take away, it could be that yotzeh behem is going to be usur. Why? Because they use the lashon of elu, even though you did not use the lashon of she'eni toim. So we still don't have a proof. Tashma, the Gemara tries again. She'eni ochel v'she'eni toim. If a guy says she'eni ochel v'she'eni toim, so he uses that lashon, mutter b'chilufin u'gedulein, that it's mutter for him to eat the chilufin and the gedulin, ha'yotzeh behem, aser. But if that which comes out of the fruit is going to be usur. So so again, over here we say that a yotze bem usur, even though all we have here is the lashon of sheni toim. He didn't say elu, so don't we see that the critical lashon is when he says sheni toim? So aydi de lo nasev bereisha yotzebem lo nasev nami b'seifa yotzebem. No, don't be medayik from yotzebem over here, because in the reisha we don't mention yotzebem, in the seifa we don't mention yotzebem either. But don't make an inference and try to figure out whether the critical lashon here is sheni toim or whether it's elu. So the Gemara is going to try again. Tashma. Amrav Yudah, Maisa Vyasa Rabbi Tarfan Alai, Beitzim Shanesh Bashalimo. There was a Maisa where Rabbi Tarfan asserted Beitzim which were cooked with Basar. So Amrulo, so they said to him, Amosai, Bizman Shemar Basar Zeh. It's where they said Basar Zeh. This is our Mishnah that we're now bringing Azariah. And Zeh is like when you say Elu, right? That Zeh, like that's what we pointed out. Zeh is like Basar, you know, Peros Elu, or Anavim Elu. So Bizman Shamar Basar Zeh Alai. Because if a person is noder from something and then it gets mixed with something else, if it has benosein tam, then it's going to be usur. So says the Gemara, so isn't that a raya that the critical language over here is where the guy says ve'elu or zeh? So says the Gemara, ve'elu lo kumi ba'elon de dafkahu. No. I know that elu is dafka. In other words, I know that unless you say elu, then that which comes out is not going to be included. The question is, in addition to saying Elu, did you also need to say She'eni Toeim? So says the Gemara, Toshma, let's try to bring a riot from yesterday's daf. Dugim She'eni Toeim. If a guy says, I am not going to taste Dugim, and we had interpreted that yesterday, that includes Bank Tolim, Bank Dolim, Bank Tanim, because Dug is a Dug Gadol, Dugim is Dugim Kitanim. So She'eni Toeim, Usur Behem, Ben Gedolim, Ben Katanim, Ben Chayim, Ben Mbushalin. However, Umutar Betaris Trufa Ubetzir. And it's mutter to have chopped up fish and fish brine. What's fish brine? Fish brine is the juice that comes from the fish. So if you say Dugim, She'eni Toeim, it's mutter to have that which comes out of the fish. So don't we see that, the critical thing is whether you use the Lashon of Zeh or Elu? If you use the Lashon of Zeh or Elu, then that which comes out of it is going to be Usur. If you don't use the Lashon of Zeh or Elu, then that which comes out of it is going to be Mutur. And the Raya is from yesterday's daf, because the guy said She'eni Toeim, yet you're allowed to have fish brine. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava Ukvar Yatzamam. No, we're talking about where the brine already, where the brine that already that had already come out of the fish at the time you made the nether is going to be Mutur. However, maybe brine that emerges after the time of the nether may still be prohibited. So in other words, when we say that the seer is mutter, maybe we're not talking about seer that comes out of the fish after the time of the nether. Maybe we're only talking about seer that had already come out of the fish at the time of the nether. But maybe in a chinami, that which comes out later would still be usur. And therefore, the Gemara leaves this as inconclusive as well. We don't know whether when the guy says she'eni toeim, whether it includes even davar hayotze mina usur or not. The Ron says that because we leave this in doubt in the Gemara, we go l'chumra, and therefore the nether is given its most broad construction possible. I am done for now. My Reinu is back, Baruch Hashem, and he will pick up from the Mishnah on the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful Erev Shabbos, a great Shabbos, and we will learn together in the beginning of January again, please God.